Hallelujah. We didn't call Rob up for prayer because Rob's going away to the Netherlands. He's like, Rob is like, you know, he's true Zimbabwean. You know, Zimbabweans have town life and rural life. So they sometimes go to the rural area. So Rob is just relating, returning to the rural area, Netherlands. And he'll be coming back to town very soon. he's just going to Kumusha, and he'll be back. Brothers and sisters, it is a joy today to be reflecting on God's word. We'll be reflecting on God's word, and I want to say to you, as the pastors, we've been praying that we should start early before we see too many signs of things advertising Christmas. We should start preparing you believers for Christmas. So we've started now, we're starting today, and the best way we prepare for Christmas is to focus on Jesus. So we are going back to, for if you are visiting today, there was a time when we were going through the book of Luke in the Gospels, and we had to stop and focus on things that were pertinent and happening during that time. We're now going back to the book of Luke from where we left. And the reason why we're doing this is we are reflecting on the life of Jesus so that when Christmas time comes, we are mindful of this is really about Jesus. And we hopefully you haven't seen too many commercials that may confuse you. So we want to focus on the book, on following Jesus as the story is told by Luke in Luke's gospel. And I had to say this for two reasons, just so that we are clear that we want for the following Sundays, we'll be reflecting on the life of Jesus as recorded by Luke. But also the other reason is the passage, when we stopped, the passage that we are starting from, if I didn't tell you, you would think, and you're visiting, you'd think, wow, that pastor was really angry today, you know. No, I am not angry. And the passage that we are going to read is not a feel-good sermon. It's not a feel-good passage, but that's where we are. That's where we left, and we one of the reasons why we are encouraged to preach through a book from start to finish, not necessarily just at one go, but to make sure that you go through the book from start to finish, is to avoid the common temptation that is there, where you just preach from your favorite topics and you avoid certain things. To be honest with you, if I wasn't going through the book of Luke and we're preaching through that, you would hardly hear a sermon from me from this passage that we are reading today. But you would maybe here and there, but it's not a favorite go-to for many preachers, this passage we are going to read from. And also so that you know that I'm not preaching an angry sermon, the style I'll use today is going to be different. Normally we would read the whole passage and then almost like close, and then I'll just explain and teach on the passage. Today we're going to keep the passage open and we'll go through the passage so that you know it's really coming from the Word of God, not just from me. But for you to get the full picture of the story we are reading from today, we'll read the story first and then we'll go back to preaching. But before I do that, I just want to tell you two stories. One is actually a true story. The other one is a made-up story. The first story that is true is when Lydia and I got married, We had two wedding receptions. We had one in Harare because, you know, I married up in Harare, and the Harare family and the church were all at, what was it called, the place? Portuguese Club. We celebrated there in Harare, and it was great. The following day, we were in Gutu. And halfway through the celebrations, I was like, oh, I made a mistake. Oh, we shouldn't have done this. Because there were some things that were going on there that were showing the true Gutu character. I didn't want to disappoint my I was like, oh, my beautiful bride, I'm excited. And you know, so let me give you an example. One lady, you know, when gifts are given there, everybody announces Nemkono angwe $10, you know. So one lady gives and she goes, whispers something, and then the guy stands up and says, he announces who she is, I won't say the name, and then says, $10! She actually used words I won't repeat here. She shouted, no! Hey, you know, I said, $3, give me my change, you know. So $3. And then, of course, you know, the person announcing, he tries to have a lighter side. She's like, I am serious, I want my change. And she stood there, she would not leave until she got her change, you know. She got her change. And then I was like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have come here. But later on in life, we went to a wedding where the father of the bride there was, he did something very strange. You judge for yourself what this father of the bride did. He found himself a fake $100 bill. And he gave that as a wedding gift. And everybody was like, yay, you know, loving father. And he made promises that he never delivered later on, or things that he did not deliver. Who would you rather have? The good lady with $3? Or the fake? Now, it's really a true story. $100 bill. That he knew it was fake. Who would you rather have? But everybody celebrated, yay, loving father, he has given $100 bill. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that great? So think about that. Then in another, a made-up story is, a man needed to express his gratitude to somebody who had loved him and his family very well. And that man also had not just one, but a few fake bills. And he knew. And he was very elaborate about thanking and being grateful, giving fake money, and he was expressing his gratitude. Somebody like that man is seated in church today. So much love given by God. And to say thank you, I come with my fake worship. Let us pray. God, we are here, Lord, and we thank you. We thank you for the fellowship. We thank you for the love. We thank you for your presence here with us, Holy Spirit. It is your presence that helps us. For now, we really need to hear your word and hear it clearly. We need, O God, to understand your word. Give us understanding. After hearing your word and understanding your word, we need to do what your word tells us to do. Give us the power to do what your word tells us to do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us read together. Luke chapter 11 from verses 37. We will read the whole story to 54. And then we'll come back and make few quick comments as we go and we think about what God is saying to us. Hear God's word. As Jesus was speaking, one of the Pharisees invited him home for a meal. So he went in and took his place at the table. His host was amazed to see that he sat down to eat without first performing the hand washing ceremony required by Jewish custom. Then the Lord said to him, "You Pharisees are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and wickedness. Fools, didn't God make the inside as well as the outside? So clean the inside by giving gifts to the poor, and you will be clean all over." Are we stuck there?
Yeah.
All right. Brothers and sisters, Jesus was speaking to people and he was teaching them. One of the things that Jesus had just taught, as Jesus was speaking, let me remind you what he was speaking about. He had just said, "Be careful that the light in you is not darkness." That's in verse 35. Make sure that the light in you is not darkness. And he was talking about the lamp, the light in your life that is guiding you. And as he was speaking, one Pharisee says, "Lord, come over to my house for dinner. Come and have dinner with me." And it was always a big occasion whenever Jesus was invited, there would be many more people that would gather there to have a meal with him. Some were just there to watch, some were there to listen, to hear what Jesus would be teaching and saying. I think it must have been quite something to go for a meal with Jesus, because you never knew what would happen. On this day, Jesus just goes in, he sits at the table, he starts eating. He hasn't done the thing that shows that you are actually a righteous, God-fearing, a person that wants to be clean in the eyes of everybody. Jesus just starts eating. And the Pharisee never says a thing. He just thinks. You know, it's an understatement to say he was amazed. In fact, he was upset that Jesus did not wash his hands to eat. Isn't it scary to know that Jesus knows what you think? You're just sitting there, you don't say a thing, and he knows exactly you are condemning him. Sometimes, there are times when I wish I could be like that. I could be able to do what Jesus was able to do, to know what you think when I'm in your presence. Then I think, thank you, Lord, that I don't have the ability, because I don't want other people to have that ability to be able to know what I think when I'm thinking. But you know what? God knows what is going on inside of you. God knows what you are thinking, what you are, the kind of things that you think when you're interacting with people, when you're interacting with Jesus. God knows. And Jesus goes to address exactly that. The rest of the passage that we are reading up to verse 54, I'm going to be going through that. The rest of that passage that we are reading will be commenting on this thing that Jesus talks about. Jesus starts saying to us, teaches us a very important lesson, but is addressing Pharisees who are not his disciples. They are, in fact, from chapter 6 in Luke's gospel, for those of you that were following, we know that the Pharisees were looking for ways in which, and something they could do to Jesus. They were out to get Jesus. So he's talking to people that are not necessarily his disciples, who follow him out of loving what he's teaching. He's speaking to people that are enemies. But we do well to listen to what Jesus says, because what he is trying to teach us, what he says there is, beware of false religion. Beware of having a false religion that everybody will praise and say, oh, Pastor Paul is an amazing Christian, and meanwhile, it's all false. So he says that would be, did you see that he actually called them fools? Huh? And you know, when you read fools, that word is defined in the Bible. So it could mean what you are thinking, it could mean, but you know, we understand in the Bible, a fool is one who says in their heart there is no God. A fool says in his heart there is no God. A person who thinks that my life, I control my life by myself, I am, you know, that person is actually not using their mind as they should. They are being foolish. So Jesus says, you know, you live as if there's no God. The way you think, you, whatever things that you do on the outside that people see, you think that's what God wants. You think that's because you want people's praise. And we're going to look at the kind of things that he mentioned just quickly. But here is the question. When you wake up every day and you think, how am I going to look today, to appear today? How am I, you know, how am I going to carry myself to appear today? When you sit there and you are putting on your makeup and you're doing all those things and you're thinking about the way you look today to the world, do you consider how your heart looks to God as well? Do you take a moment to say, do I have a clean heart before God? Or it is enough as long as people see how great I look, my life is good, it's enough, I am okay this way. Because we go to great lengths. I had when I was growing up, when I was in Form 1, we stayed, there were five guys that stayed together, brothers and cousins together, and I had a cousin there who was very particular about the way he looked. He would iron his clothes and look so amazing just to attract the girls, you know? And he would make sure that before he goes to sleep, he has already prepared the things that he's wearing the following day. I was the youngest in that group of five that stayed together. And sometimes these bigger guys would do nasty things to me. They would be horrible. You know, I was the one who had to wash the dishes, do all the dirty things that they didn't want to do. But I knew that, you know, I almost called out his name. I knew that for my cousin, the one way, whenever he made me upset, the one way I would say fix him would be when he set his clothes, everything is set, I would go there and just mess them up. Sometimes I got, you know, punished for it, but I could tell the little punishment I got was nothing compared to how upset he was, because I would have spoiled his night, I would have spoiled his day, because now he has to plan something else completely. We go to great lengths to look good in life, to appear like we are good. But Jesus says, don't be like a fool. Please ensure that your inside is clean. And this is what this is about. Now I'm going to read to you and go through the list of the things that he started commenting on, the things that you know, and please, this is not meant to condemn anyone, but you may find yourself that I need to work through this area. I need to improve in that area. We'll carry on from verse 42. Verse 42, he says, woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Here's a question. Do you keep the important things as important things, or do you major in the minor things? Because false religion always reverses the order. Things that are minor become major. And people will be, you know what, in the Presbyterian church, we don't, you know, this is what we're supposed to do. This person here at St. Columbus, this is what we do. You know, the way that he acted, that's not our culture here. You know, that's not proper. You know, I actually had a person who has said to me, you know what, Pastor, at St. Columbus, you don't have to wear a collar. And I said, it's fine. I love to wear my collar. I could explain to you, but I love to wear my collar. And then he says, you know, that doesn't go down well with a number of people. And I said, you know, I love to wear my collar. But Pastor, you know, the people that wear their collars, they think they're so important. They're all that. And And I said, you know what? You got to just deal with it. I love to wear my collar. I said, take it off. God will not strike me with lightning. I can put it on. I love to wear my collar. But you tell me that this is the most important thing for you in worshiping God. No, it's not. Jesus says to the Pharisees, tithing, you are perfect when it comes to tithing. Every herb, you know, before you cook, you say 10%, this goes handful of food, this goes, you know, you should, and Jesus says you should do it. But you forget that you are taught to tithe for the benefit of the poor, because God loves them. You ignore justice and mercy. You ignore love. And you tithe for the sake of it. They were so thorough. And I do know Christians today that will say, you know what, let me see. I tithe from my gross income. And I weighed it out. Even if it is 37 cents, up to 37 cents, my tithe is there. I'm good. And as they tell me, they will say, you know what? I can't stand that person. I hate that person. I hate, you know those people. I hate that person. And I'm saying, here's what Jesus is saying. Deal with that hate in your heart. When you know somebody has got something against you, when you know that somebody has got something against you, before you give your gift, go and make peace with that person. Because for God, this balance between justice and love is more important than your 37 cents in your tithe. But make sure you don't measure in the minors. This is the one part that we need to look at in our lives and concern ourselves. There was a power cut that affected our computers and things like that. So this may be, maybe you need to just turn it off, and I'll go through the Bible here. I'll just deal with the Bible. Sorry, because of that power cut, it affected our computers. I'm sorry, I had not realized the extent that it went. So, do you measure in the minors, or do you let the important thing as important things? Then he goes, woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. You love, that's on verse 43. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. You know, this is one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible, because you go to any church, the front seats are often left empty because people are like, you know, we're not like the Pharisees. We sit at the back, you know. There are two things here that I want to highlight. Jesus says, you love to be seen. You love recognition. You love glory. You love, you may be sitting right at the back or in the front or wherever it is you are sitting. The question is, are you a person that says, I am doing this for recognition? Do they see me? Are you the kind of person, have you ever been offended when at a function where you thought that these people should acknowledge me, that I am here, and they did not acknowledge you, and you were offended? You went off saying, you know what, they don't even know who I am. They did not recognize and give me that recognition in the marketplaces or in the synagogue. You love recognition. And God is a jealous God. He guards his glory. He does not share his glory with you, Paul. God says, glory to God, not to you, the creature. But you Pharisees, you love to take that glory. Now, is your heart clean in that regard? Are you the kind of person who says, you know, glory to God. Whatever I do, I am serving God. Or you are the kind of person that will be offended and you will say, I'm not going back there. They did not recognize me. Are you doing things for sure? Woe to you. We move on. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which men walk over without knowing it. Yo, can you imagine inviting somebody to supper and then the person says, you are like an unmarked grave? how would you take that? You are like an unmarked grave. Let me tell you what this means. If you read in Numbers 19, the word of God there, if you come into contact with a grave or a dead body, you'll be ceremonially unclean for a period. You had to go through cleansing. So Jesus says, You Pharisees, you are people that will say, you know, have you met Christians? Let me come to present day. Have you met Christians that do not want to interact with those filthy people that will make us unholy? We don't want to go to those places that will make us unholy. The Pharisees were the kind of people that would say, you don't come near me, you defile me, because I am such a clean person. Please, you are like, to me, you are like an unmarked grave, because you are a sinner, I am a Pharisee, I'm perfect before God. I don't interact with the filthy. Jesus comes and says, you know what? You look all that, but there is a death inside you. That you spread around when people come near you, because your hearts are not clean. You are spreading that. Actually, rather than them making you unclean, you defile them. Yo, think about it, dear brothers and sisters. How do you interact with people in life? Are you the cleanest of them all, and everybody else makes you unclean, but I'm clean, they are all unclean, I don't interact with them because they are unclean, I am the cleanest of them all. I don't interact with them because, you know, did you see the way they dance? Did you see, you know, there are places that Pastor Lydia and I would go to, and then somebody says, "Oh, you come here, you are pastors, you come here." And then I'm all self-conscious all the time. I am there, but I just realize we've got it all wrong. We've got it all wrong. These perfect people who, in their own works, in their own efforts, have become so perfect, are spreading a death across the world, because they are saying, you only please God by your perfect actions. And have you seen anybody perfect yet? And so many people will say, I can't come to church. If you will come across people that say, you know what, I'm so unclean, I can't come to church. I've done so many wrong things. The church place is not fit for me. You know why? Because Pharisees are like unmarked graves, that instead of attracting people to Jesus, bringing people to Jesus, for Jesus to clean them up, they repel people because they are saying, you could never be as clean as we are. And people feel condemned by God even before they talk to God. You are like unmarked graves. And then at that stage, it just got too much. Oh, by the way, let me highlight this to you. Oh my goodness, your faces, you should see your faces. I am glad you are not on camera. There's no video following your faces. You are scaring me. Please look at the person near you and just smile at them. They are not an unmarked grave. Just smile at them and then look back here.